Hey folks, thanks for being a member of the Cafe Insider community. In addition to the Cafe Insider podcast and my weekly note, you also get bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. My conversation with Gary Gensler at the Code Conference concluded with questions from the audience. The first question was about Gensler's view on payment for order flow, which is a method by which stockbrokers receive compensation for transferring their clients' stock trades to a third party that executes the trade. This process has been in the news recently because it's at the heart of the controversy surrounding hedge fund Citadel's involvement in the GameStop stock saga.
What is your view on payment for order flow?
I think what you said was, what is my view on payment for order flow?
Yes.
And I think that as revealed in a case that we brought last December, the SEC, before I was there, there can be inherent conflicts of interest. Our equity markets more broadly should be and can be the most efficient and the most robust in the world. I think it's been about 16 years since we've updated our basic infrastructure and market structure rules about our capital markets, our equity markets. And with nearly half of the market going to wholesalers and dark pools, and the other half itself has a lot of darkness in it, I think I've asked staff, what can we do to make the market more efficient? And so payment for order flow is just one of the many features that I've asked staff, how can we make these markets work better for investors and for companies trying to raise money?
The next question was about Gensler's skepticism about whether many crypto tokens could survive as private forms of money.
Hi, Gary. Appreciate the regulation of crypto that you're pursuing. One question for you is, you've said that there can't be 5,000 to 6,000 private forms of money, referring to the approximately 6,500 tokens there are. But that's a patently false statement. The majority of those tokens are not trying to be private forms of money. So how do you reconcile that?
Well, I don't know your first name. I apologize. But I think that you raise a good point. I was using the term cryptocurrencies loosely. They're not all currencies. But I also think that each of these individual projects, if they want to compete as a form of money, that's unlikely. If they're competing as something else, if they're offering something to the public other than investment contract. I mean, Preet was saying that they're maybe not investment contracts. If they're investment contracts and they're a form of security, which I think there are many of them are, again, based on facts and circumstances, that would be different. But it's hard to say that they are, you know, all not investment contracts and all not some form of trying to be some form of private money. And then you say, well, they're a commodity. But I'd ask back, how many forms of precious metal really compete as a some form of long-term form of store of value?
I guess the answer to that is pretty straightforward, though. You'd have gold and then some other precious metals for different commodities. But I think that we all want you to succeed in pursuing this regulation of crypto, but some of those statements probably rip some credibility off you. So I'd ask you to sort of probably consider them more closely, because it's not like you say that there's file storage systems such as Filecoin, which are decentralized AWS, let's say. And you're not saying that AWS or Amazon stock or Microsoft stock or Google stock are forms of money. And I just think statements like that are probably ruffling feathers.
Well, I appreciate your comments, and I'll take them in the spirit they're given.
Thank you.
The audience is tougher than me.
The final question was about stablecoins, which are cryptocurrencies that are pegged to the value of other assets, such as other currencies like the U.S. dollar, or commodities like gold.
Yeah, Alex Heath with The Verge. I wanted to drill down on stablecoins briefly, if we can.
On stablecoins,
what do you think about the stablecoin market, and specifically Tether and the concerns that have been out there about the makeup of their reserves? And what is the stablecoin market right now in your eyes?
Well, as you can imagine, I'm not going to comment on any one token. But I think that there's kind of two public policy debates. There's one about what some people call global stable coins, and that was kicked off, I guess that was in the summer of 19, if I recall, but kicked off in the summer of 19 when a certain big internet platform was looking at doing what was called a global stable coin. But there's also currently about $125 billion of stable coins right now that, I don't know, a dozen or 18 of them or so make up that set. And those $125 billion have been used at the platforms, or as I recently said, they're in essence the poker chip at the casino tables in the Wild West that I've referenced. And I think that those represent, depending upon the platform, 70-80% of the trading volume versus a pair, versus Bitcoin, versus something else. So there's a couple of sets of public policy issues. One is financial stability, of course, what's underlying these tokens. We at the SEC do focus on financial stability, but primarily we're focused on the investor protection side of the platforms themselves and how these platforms are treating client money and customers and the platforms themselves.
Thank you again for becoming a Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Tuesday and stay tuned every Thursday.